when Daleville Christian Church meets for worship on Sunday morning, we always have an affirmation of our faith together. And it's important to us that we share that affirmation of faith. This one taken from Romans, the letter to the Romans, chapter 1, the first six verses. We claim the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. The gospel lesson today is from Matthew's gospel book, the first chapter, the 18th through the 25th verses. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This season we talk about prophecy. And why not? Jesus fulfilled some 300 prophecies of the Old Testament. There were a dozen Old Testament prophecies fulfilled just in Jesus' being born. You may think of prophecy as a kind of prediction of things that will happen. Well, that is certainly an aspect of prophecy. But weather is a prediction. As a matter of fact, the weatherman or the weatherwoman take 10 minutes to explain what's going to happen and why tomorrow and the next day. Prophecy isn't like that. When we read prophecy, we don't get a lot of explanation. That's one reason that prophecy can be difficult to understand. Now, another essential question, why is this important? Why look at the prophecies that have been fulfilled already? Aren't we really only interested in the prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled? Well, there are two reasons that we want to look at the fulfilled prophecies at Christmas. First of all, we want to see that God had a plan and God made promises. Promises that God kept. God is trustworthy. We can trust God to save us if we will call upon God to save us through Jesus Christ, his Son, our Messiah. God wants to save us. God had a plan to save us, and the plan is still in place. But secondly, we want to look at fulfilled prophecies to show how God fulfilled his promises. We will see today that how God fulfilled his promise was not always easy to notice or observe, but God got it done. So let's notice some things in today's Bible word. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. We've covered this, right? But I think Pastor Daryl Dash from DashHouse.com explains it fairly well. He writes, "Back then you wouldn't date and get engaged and get married like some people do today. Your parents would find a spouse for you. How would you like that? And then you would enter into a binding agreement before witnesses that you would marry this person. This would be called betrothal, and once you were betrothed, you were in between. You weren't fully married yet because you weren't living together, but the only way you could end the betrothal would be through full divorce proceedings. Betrothal first, then later. Full marriage, living together. But the betrothal is legally binding. Joseph was betrothed to Mary. The parents had arranged the marriage. They'd already committed to get married. Joseph discovers that Mary is pregnant. Joseph is surprised, to say the least. And so, with that information, Joseph has a choice to make. He can marry Mary as planned, as betrothed, as intended. But why should he do that? That isn't part of the betrothal, this pregnancy, which is not his. As a matter of fact, Mary had broken the betrothal contract. Joseph had the right not only to divorce Mary, but he may take her to the marketplace and accuse Mary loudly and publicly. Joseph could legally do the modern equivalent of burning Mary on Facebook, trotting out all her errors, mistakes, and any other reason to divorce Mary, and then he would publicly divorce her. But Joseph had another plan. Joseph isn't the vengeful type. Joseph, the Bible tells us, will put Mary out quietly. Joseph wants to put the whole thing behind him quickly and quietly. God knows that it's time to bring Joseph in on God's plan. Indeed, that Joseph is a part of God's plan. And God's messenger, because that's what an angel is, a messenger of God, the messenger in Joseph's dream says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Please notice that Jesus is not the result of any human initiative. No person, no human being thought Jesus up. God took the initiative completely to bring about the birth of Jesus Christ to save his people from their sins. Jesus was God's plan to save us. God had a plan, and God's plan was unfolding before Joseph's eyes. But we're not done noticing things in these verses from chapter 1 of Matthew's book. Joseph was betrothed. Joseph had done the right thing. Joseph was honoring his parents as God's word says he should. Being betrothed, the Bible says Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. I was curious. I wondered how many people in the Bible are described that way. Well, it's a short list. Joseph is the only one. And I'm not saying no one else was faithful to the law. David certainly thought he was faithful to the law before Bathsheba. But I'm only saying that as far as a description goes, faithful to the law, only Joseph is so described. And the Bible says, and yet did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. So Joseph is not only a lawful guy, he's lawfully entitled to divorce his betrothed, Mary, because of her breach of contract. Joseph is not only a lawful guy, Joseph is a nice guy. Notice again in verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, verse 18, but this is not the first time Joseph's name has shown up in Matthew's gospel book. This is the second time we would read Joseph's name. Joseph's name was also a part of the genealogical chart in chapter 1 of Matthew's gospel book, Matthew 1:16, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called Messiah. And what does the angel say? The angel addresses Joseph. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David." So we see the clues all out in front of us. So although Joseph was not expecting Jesus, you might say that Mary was expecting and Joseph wasn't, right? I thought that was kind of clever. Mary was expecting and Joseph wasn't. But why wasn't Joseph expecting Jesus? I want to suggest this whole scenario we read about in Matthew's gospel book could have gone differently. Joseph is a son of David, a son of Abraham. There are Old Testament prophecies about that, right? There are Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah, yes. God is going to save his people, yes. So I wonder why Joseph didn't put all the pieces of the puzzle together and say, "Wow, Mary's baby must be the Messiah." And my guess is that Joseph is more like us. We read God's promises in God's word. We read the scriptures, we even say that we believe them, but we have a hard time believing that God's promises are really for us. We have a hard time believing that God really intends to bless us. We may even have a hard time being sure that God wants to rescue us. God wants to save us. Even Joseph, who had several clues in front of him, did not conclude, "This is it, the Messiah is coming. This pregnancy is what we've all been waiting for. God's done it. God's plan's unfolding before my eyes." No, Joseph doesn't say that. God's messenger, the angel, has to open Joseph's eyes. And the angel says, "What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." He will save. The Savior is coming and is now here. The with us God, Emmanuel, God with us. The with us God. And verses 22 and 23, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. God is fulfilling his promise to save us. God is moving on his plan to save us. This is for Joseph. This is for you. The promise is to you. Joseph finally got it. Will it take an angel showing up in your dreams for you to understand God's promises for you? There are many of God's promises for you, you know. We're just talking about the ones God made good on in Jesus' birth. But that does mean that all of God's promises are coming for you. God makes good on God's promises. Matthew declared it in his book. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The promise was fulfilled in all that took place. Are you seeing the promises of God being fulfilled for you in your life? Shall we mention a few of those? Why don't we begin with 2 Corinthians, first chapter, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yes. And in Jesus, amen. to the glory of God through us. From the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, in the 41st chapter, "And said to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And from the prophet Jeremiah, in the 31st chapter, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." And the promise in Romans chapter 8. "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." And Jesus said in John's Gospel, the 10th chapter, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." And Jesus said later in John's Gospel book, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And again in 2 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." These are just the beginning of God's promises to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We who celebrate the coming of the promised Messiah Jesus, the same God will make good on these promises to you. And today, we enroll another recipient of our God's promises. The one we baptize receives these promises with you today. Amen.